Hi, and welcome to Crash Course Catholicism, a podcast about Catholic teaching and why it makes sense. I'm your host, Caitlin West. Hey friends, welcome to episode 71. So in this episode, we're going to talk about an awesome woman called St. Gianna Beretta Mola. Now, St. Gianna is awesome for multiple reasons, not just because she is a saint, but also because she's a 20th century saint. So she lived, she was born in 1922 in Italy. So she's a very modern saint. She was a mum. She was a working mum. She was a doctor. She was really actively pro-life. She was a really charismatic, happy, joyful, cheerful person. She had three kids, a beautiful, loving, happy marriage. And she unfortunately died while giving birth to her fourth child, but in circumstances that later was one of the kind of contributing factors to her canonization. So she's a pretty amazing person and I can't wait to talk about her. Okay, let's jump right into it. So St. Gianna, as I said, she was born in 1922 in Italy. She was born to a big Catholic family. So her parents had 13 children, of which she was number 10. Five of her siblings died in childhood, so she was one of the seven that remained. So from a very young age, she was very pious. She loved God a lot. She received her first Holy Communion when she was 5 years old. And from then on, she went to daily mass every day with her mum. St. Gianna was, as a child, she was a hard worker. She tried really hard at school, but she wasn't academically brilliant and she didn't love school. She had a bunch of other hobbies that she kind of preferred, including spending time outside in nature and painting and playing the piano, but she did study a lot and she tried really hard. However, she often only just passed her exams. So when she was around 14, she actually failed a couple of subjects and she had to be kept back. In general, though, St. Gianna was a really joyful, happy, cheerful child. One of her school friends wrote about her that Gianna had a faith so catching that all those who met her after a short time felt attracted to the church, which is like goals. At about the age of 15, a few big changes occurred in Gianna's life that had an impact on her. Her family moved to another city and she started going to a different school. She went to a school run by Dorothean sisters and she received a really great education there, particularly a religious education. And she started to really grow in her faith. And I think this is something that happens to a lot of people around this age, especially if you're a cradle Catholic. You might have grown up Catholic and, you know, as a child, it's something that your family does and it's important to you and you have a sincere faith. But often around the age of about 15 or 16, that's a time when you start kind of thinking a bit more for yourself and asking questions and you kind of have this opportunity to make your faith your own. And that seems to be what happened to St. Gianna. She went on an Ignatian retreat around this time, and that had a really big impact on her. So from then on, she started taking her spiritual life really seriously and really making it her own. She joined something called Catholic Action, which is a group that was particularly active during the 20th century, and it was made up of lay Catholics who tried to have an impact on society, particularly through engagement with politics. So we can see her love for God and the importance that her faith has in her life from her writings around this time. So one of the things she wrote as a teenager, she said, "I make the holy resolution to do everything for Jesus. All my works, all my disappointments, I offer everything to Jesus." So this is coming from a 15-year-old girl. That's pretty impressive. I think if you went back and read my like prayer journals from that age, it'd be full of me being like, "Dear God, today the boy that I like came to church in army print khaki pants and now I don't like him anymore." But seriously, she was a very mature teenager. So around this time, not only was she taking her faith, you know, really seriously, she also started to improve academically quite drastically to the point where she wasn't just like just getting by anymore. She actually started passing with really, really good marks. Unfortunately, though, she ended up having to take a year off school because she had some health issues. It's not really clear what they were. In the book that I read about her, it said she had a, quote, delicate constitution. I never know what that means. But anyway, her health wasn't amazing. So her parents thought it would be a good idea for her to take a year off school and just to rest, which was turned out to be a great thing for her because she had the time to really develop in her hobbies and do things that she loved and rest and spend time at home. And then then by the time she came back to school, to finish school, she was really blossoming into a well-rounded person. She was getting really good grades. She was taking on more responsibilities with Catholic Action. She started getting interested in medicine and she decided that that's what she wanted to pursue. So she finished high school. She went and got her degree and she completed a specialization in pediatrics. And after that, she actually declared her intention to go and be a missionary. Now, this might sound like kind of a random thing for her to decide, but actually, it was something that she had been thinking about ever since she was a child. So her parents had really instilled in her and her siblings a love for the missions. They often used to donate money to the missions. And in fact, St. Gianna's mother had wanted to be a missionary at one point. So it was something that had always been in her heart. And as she grew up, she really developed this conviction. She was like, I think God really wants me to be a missionary. So her two brothers announced that, like, one of them was a priest and the other one was an engineer, and they decided to go to Brazil to build a hospital there. And so she decided that she was going to go with them as a missionary. And she actually wrote a letter to her brother, the one who was a priest at the time, saying, I am so happy to be coming and I really think this is my vocation. I have prayed about this. So she prayed a lot about it. She thought a lot about it. She really wanted to be a missionary. However, this resolution wasn't met with much enthusiasm by the people around her, especially her family and her spiritual director. They were all a bit concerned because, you know, how we said before that her health wasn't amazing. Her family knew that in Brazil, the conditions would be much harder for her physically, like even just the climate and the lifestyle would be really difficult. And her family were worried that it would be too much for her health. And her spiritual director at one point said that, look, God, when he gives you a vocation, he doesn't just give you the spiritual gifts that you need to carry it out. He also gives you the physical capacity to carry out that calling. So Gianna kind of realized that she wasn't built for that life. And even though she was disappointed, she made the decision to step away from that dream of being a missionary. Now, I think this is a really important kind of moment in her life to dwell on a bit, because I think all of us go through times like this in different ways on larger and smaller scales. There are times in all of our lives where we have a plan and we have an idea about our life and how we want it to go. And often it's a really good, noble plan. Like, there was nothing wrong with Gianna's desire to be a missionary. That's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But sometimes God has other plans, and those other plans might look a bit less exciting or a little bit less dramatic. You know, it might be something completely different than the thing that we've been carrying in our hearts. But when we look at St. Gianna's life, what we end up seeing, like from this point onwards, we'll see that this other path, it didn't look as exciting as going and being a missionary in Brazil, but it was ultimately her path to sanctity. This is how she became a saint. And Gianna really understood that. She understood that a vocation isn't just about what I want and what's in my heart and what I'm excited about. It's about what God is calling you to, what God's plan is. So in her writings, she said, a vocation is a gift from God and therefore comes from God. If it is a gift from God, it is up to us to do all in our power to know God's will. We must go along that way if God wills it, not forcing the door. When God wills it, how God wills it. So there's a really incredible capacity to understand the importance not just of doing good things, but doing what God wants you to do. On the website that is kind of dedicated to her life, there's like a biography that I really recommend checking out. The link will be in the show notes. But there's a section where it kind of summarizes this period of her life. And it talks about how she found her way through this time of uncertainty and not knowing what God was calling her to. It says, Gianna spent many years in the uncertainty of the choice of her state of life. She interiorized her longing. She prayed often and asked others for prayers and repeatedly sought advice. She suffered much because she was really convinced of her vocation as a lay missionary. Instead of losing heart, she intensified her prayer in order to know God's will better. Through spiritual direction, she finally understood that she was being called by God to form a family. So I think this is a really beautiful example of finding a path, not just to your vocation necessarily, but to making any decision in life, praying about it, asking others for prayers, seeking advice, and instead of losing heart, intensifying your relationship with God. It's basically a textbook example of the virtue of prudence. Okay, so Gianna realized that her vocation wasn't to be a missionary, it was actually to marriage and family. Once she realized that, she was like, great, locked in, I'm going to pursue that. So she really started trying to kind of like interiorly prepare herself to be a wife and mother, hopefully one day. And alongside that interior preparation, she continued her work as a pediatrician. So in her professional work, she was working with mothers and their children, and she encountered many women who were experiencing unexpected pregnancies or going through a crisis pregnancy. And she always took the time to really get to know these women, to counsel them, to listen to them, and to encourage them to see their child as something beautiful and a gift from God. Even if the circumstances weren't perfect and weren't ideal, the child was a gift from God. And she really passionately believed that and tried to share that with the women that she encountered. And the beautiful thing about St. Gianna was that she was someone who was really, truly, holistically pro-life. So while she always defended the right of every child to life, she also concerned herself with the life of the mother. And she did everything that she could to help all of the women who came to her in need. And sometimes that was through counseling, and sometimes it was through practical help. So there are stories of her letting her patients pay her with, you know, eggs or chickens if they didn't have any money. And even at times she would give her patients money so that they could buy medicine. Okay, so at this point, St. Gianna is just a really great example of a woman who is becoming holy, living her everyday life. She's going to work every day, she's praying, she's going to daily mass, and she's trying to prepare herself for the path that God has planned for her. Speaking of the path that God had planned for her, while St. Gianna is working as a pediatrician, across the road from the building that she worked in lived a family. And in this family, there was a son, and his name was Pietro. Now, because Pietro lived in such close proximity to where Gianna worked, the two of them kind of ran into each other and encountered each other a few times just in the course of their lives, but they never really had a chance to kind of stop and talk to each other. However, they were both Catholic, and so one day they were both invited to a special mass that was being celebrated by a mutual friend. So at this mass, they were officially introduced to each other and they struck up a conversation and they became friends. And over time, that friendship became really solid and it deepened into something more. And eventually in 1955, Pietro proposed to Gianna and she accepted. So during the time of Pietro and Gianna's engagement, Pietro was actually often away on business trips, which was obviously hard for them at the time, but it's great for us now because it means that we have a whole bunch of letters that were written by the two of them during their engagement. There's actually a book of their letters that has been published, and I'll include a link to that in the show notes. These letters are beautiful, and they reveal just how seriously both Gianna and Pietro took the idea of marriage as a vocation. Their relationship wasn't just a kind of lovey-dovey emotional experience. They both were really seriously committed to the idea of marriage and family and raising children and serving one another. And actually, that's one of the things that comes through really strongly in the letters between these two, is the concept of self-sacrifice. They talk about all of the things that they want to do and be for the other person. So here's one example from one of Gianna's letters to Pietro. She says, "You are the man I had wished for, but I often ask myself, will I be worthy of him? Yes, worthy of you, Pietro, because I want so much to make you happy, but I fear not being able to do so, and I often feel I am unable to do anything. When this happens, I ask God, Lord, you see my desire and my goodwill. Supply what is lacking and help me to become the wife and mother you desire." And I feel like this is something that is so often missed in contemporary kind of pop culture depictions of love and relationships. So often the focus in romantic relationships is on what I receive. This person makes me happy. They have all these qualities that I want in another person. And of course, it's important to receive in a relationship, but it's just as important to give. And Pietro and Gianna were an incredible example of that, mutual self-giving. So, after about a 5-month engagement, the two of them got married and they began their life together. And they had a really beautiful life. They continued to carry out their daily work and they also started pursuing different hobbies together. Like, they loved going to concerts together and going for big long walks and just spending time with one another. And during this time, Pietro really got to see what an incredible, amazing person his wife was. So this is a quote from Pietro describing Gianna. He says, "Gianna's great interior strength was translated into enthusiasm, manifested in her apostolic activity and her joy in life. My wife loved sports. She played tennis, skied, climbed mountains. Another fond memory for me is dancing. Gianna could dance very well. The last time I danced with her at the Grand Hotel in Stockholm in 1961, she won the admiration of those present. She had a full, overflowing life." So in other words, Gianna was a really happy, joyful, cheerful Catholic who lived a normal and very full life. One priest described her as a calm woman full of joy, a joy which particularly irradiated and seemed to infect all those around her. Now, soon after their marriage, Gianna and Pietro's joy was increased. Just over a year after they got married, Gianna gave birth to a baby boy whom they named Pierluigi. And it's such an Italian name, hey? And a year later, they had a girl called Maria, and then 2 years later, they had another girl called Laura. And Gianna was super happy. She had always had a strong maternal instinct. And even though she never had easy pregnancies, in fact, she had very, very difficult pregnancies. She had really bad morning sickness, really, really like long labors, and it was really hard, but she was always totally overjoyed with each new child. So this is a quote from her husband. He says, "Gianna was a joyful person, but when a child was born, her joy was full and perfect. Nothing was lacking. She was radiant. From the beginning of our marriage, she prepared herself with prayer to create the most welcoming, the most serene environment for our children." So Gianna really took her role, not just as a wife, but as a mother, really seriously. So even though she continued her work as a doctor and a pediatrician, her number one priority was that she was a mum. And she particularly took seriously her role in the spiritual development of her children. She prayed with her children from a very young age. She talked to them a lot about God. She took them to daily mass. And every night, the whole family would pray the rosary together. Now, in 1961, Gianna discovered that she was pregnant for the fourth time, and she and her husband were super excited. However, early in the pregnancy, doctors discovered that Gianna had a very large benign tumor growing in her uterus. Now, smaller tumors like these are usually not a big deal, but this one was big enough that there was a danger of complications both for the mother and the baby. So the doctor said to her that they were going to have to do something about this tumor. Now, one of the options that was available to Gianna was to have her uterus removed entirely. And that would have been the safest option for her, but it would have ended the life of her child. And Gianna absolutely refused to do this. The second option was for her to have an abortion, not to have a full hysterectomy, but just to take the life of the child. And of course, she also refused to do that. She didn't want to do anything that might harm her child, even though that first option of having a full hysterectomy would actually technically have been morally permissible. It's something called the principle of double effect, which we actually don't. Okay, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole in this episode. Maybe sometime we'll do an episode on like ectopic pregnancies and the principle of double effect. But for now, it's enough just to say that that first option was actually technically open to her. And I make the point about the hysterectomy and the principle of double effect to make it clear that Saint Gianna knew that she had other options. She was never going to go ahead with an abortion. That was just like not on the cards for her. But she knew that technically speaking, there was this morally permissible other option of getting a hysterectomy. But she chose. She was like, no, my child is alive. I love my child and I'm going to do everything I can to give them a chance at life. I'm not going to do this even though I could.
She wasn't just saying, oh, well, this is the only choice that, you know, the church will permit and like I just have to do it. She was like, no, I am willing to sacrifice my life to give my child a chance at life. Now, there was a third option for her, and that option was just to operate on the tumor itself. Now, this was the most risky of the three options because there was a higher risk of infection and for kind of further complications down the line. But this was the choice that she decided to go with because it was the option that would save the life of her child. So 2 months into the pregnancy, she had that surgery and it actually seemed to go pretty well. The baby was doing fine and Gianna seemed fine and the pregnancy progressed. Gianna even continued to work as a doctor during this time. So this was a really amazing gift from God. Now, of course, Gianna and Pietro were not totally at ease at this point. They were both a bit worried about potential complications further down the line. But ultimately, they were both pretty convinced that everything was going to be okay. Like, it seemed impossible that God would take Gianna from her family. She was such an amazing mother. She was so close to her children. She and her husband adored each other. It just made sense that everything was going to be fine. But they were aware, Gianna especially, because she was a pediatrician, they were aware that the pregnancy was risky and that something might go wrong. And in fact, just a few days before Gianna was due to give birth, she gave the following instruction to her husband. She said, "If you must decide between me and the child, do not hesitate. Choose the child. I insist on it. Save the baby." So do you know what's really interesting? If you look at St. Gianna's whole life, you see this golden thread running through it of this incredible desire and capacity to give herself completely to others throughout her life. First of all, in her ambition to be a missionary, then in her work as a doctor, later in her marriage and in her role as a mother. And now at this point, it's like all of that is leading up to this choice. She was prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice of her life for her unborn child. So on the 20th of April, 1962, Gianna gave birth to a baby girl via C-section and they named her Gianna Emanuela. Now the baby was perfectly healthy, but it became clear that her mother, Gianna, wasn't very well. So pretty quickly after the birth, Gianna started to deteriorate. And a few days later, she was diagnosed with septic peritonitis, which is a serious infection that can occur as a complication of abdominal surgery. So this was an infection that had arisen probably due to the cesarean and possibly influenced by that original surgery that she had had on the tumor. Gianna suffered a lot in these days. She had a lot of pain from the infection. So the following is a testimony from her husband in which he describes her final days. He says, "I still see Gianna when on Easter morning in 1962, in the maternity ward of the Monza Hospital, she took the child in her arms with great effort. She kissed her and looked at her with a sadness and an anguish that to me are the proof of her awareness that she would soon orphan her. From that day, her pain became constant. It seemed like a slow, dramatic sacrifice accompanying that of Christ on the cross. Her suffering became even more intense on Monday. I tried to be near her all the time. During the night between Tuesday and Wednesday, her condition sharply worsened. Wednesday morning, it took a temporary turn for the better, and she told me, 'Pietro, I was on the other side already, and if I could tell you what I saw, one day I will. But since we were too happy with our wonderful children, full of health and grace, with all of heaven's blessings, they sent me back here to suffer more, because it is not right to knock at the Lord's door without having suffered greatly. This was the last time I was able to speak with my wife. For me, this was her testament of joy and suffering, of devotion and faith in God.'" Oh, so amazing. So her condition deteriorated pretty rapidly. And after 8 days, Gianna passed away on the 28th of April, 1962, at the age of 39. Gianna's funeral was attended by many people, all of whom she had impacted in some way in her life. After the funeral, a nun wrote the following in a letter. She said,
The funeral has been more beautiful than one for a princess, and an incentive to a strong return to God, to sacramental life. There were never so many Easter confessions as in these days. These men confided to the priest that they felt the need to go to confession before they dared look at the corpse of Gianna. So her impact as a, and her witness as a mother and as a Christian was immediate, and it only grew over the years after her death. And eventually her cause for canonization was opened. Now, you might remember from our episode on canonization that in order for someone to be declared a saint, one of the things that has to happen is there have to be two verified miracles. So let's quickly talk about the two miracles that occurred in St. Gianna's name. The first occurred at the hospital that Gianna's brother had founded in Brazil. So remember that hospital that Gianna originally wanted to go to and work at as a missionary? This is where the first miracle occurred, which I think is such a beautiful, like, full circle moment. Okay, so here's a summary of the miracle. Basically, it was 1977 and a woman was dying. She was in the hospital. She was having serious complications involving an abscess after giving birth to a stillborn baby. The operation that was required to save the woman's life couldn't be carried out in that hospital. And the nearest hospital that could carry it out was 600 kilometers away. So way too far. This woman would not have survived the trip. So it looked pretty clear that there were no options. This woman was going to die. So one of the nurses who worked at the hospital, who was also a Capuchin sister, decided to pray to Gianna Beretta Mola. And she invited two of the other nurses to pray with her for the healing of this woman. And apparently immediately after saying this prayer out loud, the patient herself reported her pain disappeared. And then when they checked, they found that the abscess had disappeared completely. So that was the first miracle. The second miracle occurred in the year 2000. A woman who was the mother of three children was 16 weeks pregnant with her fourth child when her placenta tore, and this resulted in the total loss of her amniotic fluid. And amniotic fluid is obviously crucial for the unborn baby's survival. It's basically like her waters broke at 16 weeks. So this woman was told by doctors that there was a 0% chance of her child surviving, and she was strongly encouraged to have an abortion. Luckily, a local bishop was visiting the hospital at the time, and he found out, and he went to her and he was like, no, this is an opportunity. We need to pray. We need to pray to Gianna Beretta Mola. So the two of them began praying, and eventually this woman gave birth to a healthy baby girl, despite the total absence of amniotic fluid. So that was the second miracle, and it opened the door for her to be canonized. So St. Gianna was canonized in 2004. According to her website, she was the first canonized woman physician and professional who was also a working mum. So any mums out there, any working mums, anyone working in the pro-life movement, any doctors, St. Gianna, she's your gal. Okay, so that's the story of St. Gianna Beretta Mola. And do you know what I love about this story? I love how normal it is. I love that this is just a mom. Like, this is a woman who, like, when you look at her life, she was a cradle Catholic. She grew up, she got married, she had three kids. And, like, yes, she died in tragic circumstances, but her life, the way that she became a saint was just by, like, being a doctor and being a mom and being married. Like, such a beautiful witness of just becoming a saint just through living your life. So she is an example to all of us. Now, a brief word before we wrap up about the next couple of months. So I have to submit my PhD in like 2.5 months. Terrifying. I'm completely terrified. So at the moment I'm like in my writing troll cave, like desperately panicking and writing so that I can submit in time. And I tell you this for two reasons. One, please pray for me because this is going to be an intense couple of months. Two, because you might notice that over the next two and a half months, episodes might be a little bit shorter or a little bit sort of like lighter on in terms of like the theological material, etc. Put that down to me spending 99% of my time panicking about Shakespeare. But the great thing is, as soon as I have submitted this thesis, I will actually have way more time to do other things. So there are a bunch of things that I have been wanting to do for the podcast and that I've started doing but haven't been able to finish. And once I've submitted, I'll actually have time for those things. So gird your loins, people, because it's going to be so much fun after I am done. Great. I can't wait. I will talk to you in a fortnight. Have a good one. I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye.